following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Radio Live. It is Friday. That's right. Playoff games tomorrow. NFL postseason kicks off. Wild card weekend. Super wild card weekend. Three games in the AFC, three games in the NFC. I can't wait, John. I'm excited. It's going to be nice to get away from this godforsaken MVP discussion. I am so god dang sick of it. I can't do it anymore. I can't do this for another few weeks.
Geez, yesterday you used y'all, today you used god dang. I mean, what's going on to you?
I've lived down, I know in you're the down south for south, 6 years.
Well, it's only been 6 years. All right, so it's moved pretty quickly. I thought it was a little bit longer, but yeah, you know what? You move to a different part of the country, you kind of pick up some of their ways and accents. You don't have a pickup truck, right?
And, no.
A dog and a shotgun.
Although
so
I've thought about it because of the convenience of being able to move things with a pickup truck would just be incredible. But.
True.
I think pandemic time, though, has changed things, made it move a little bit quicker the last 2 years being down in Florida during the pandemic.
Yep.
But, I'm just – look, we know the voting's in. We're going to find out about the AP All-Star. I mean, potentially today. I'm not quite sure, but I know the AP team, the All-Pro team, gets announced somewhat soon. And that'll give you a kind of a good indication as to where the voters ultimately leaned. I get the feeling, and we talked about this yesterday a little bit, the wind, the national narrative, the wind seems to be blowing in a different direction than it has been the last few weeks. And by that, I mean, maybe my perception is just off a little bit, and that's, you know, hey, that's maybe a discussion for another day. But it seems like the general national angle here is that Tom Brady is the MVP, which has been kind of a change from the, you know, 2 weeks ago where Aaron Rodgers clinched it and there was nothing that could have possibly ever happened for him to not win it, you know, at that point, which was kind of an absurd statement or suggestion to make anyways. But I do get the sense that it is shifting a little bit. Now, that means nothing when it comes to voters, just like the over-the-top, you know, campaigning for Rodgers ultimately meant nothing because most of the people with the loudest voices don't have a vote. So it's not like this is a direct impact, but the public perception seems to be shifting a little bit. And I think unless someone proves me otherwise, I think I had a large hand in that.
What about Nate Silver at 538? What is he saying? He's normally been really good at this stuff, except the 2016 presidential election, which a lot of people were wrong on that, by the way. But this does feel almost like a presidential election, like it's going to be very close and whoever loses is going to complain. And, you know, is there going to be a third candidate in there like Joe Burrow or someone else that's going to secure a few votes? And it just feels like that. And it's interesting. And I agree. I think it's shifting a little bit more to even closer than I thought it was going to be. I always thought it was going to be close. I thought Rodgers was in command. But then I think Brady's made some inroads the last couple of weeks to the point where it's going to be close. But I think today the AP All-Pro team gets announced. They normally do it within 4 or 5 days at the conclusion of the regular season. So once we see that, that's going to be a telltale sign. I also want to see how it finishes, obviously, with the quarterback. So, you know, you're going to get 50 votes because the same people that vote for the MVP vote for the AP All-Pro team, 50 votes. So we'll get an idea of which quarterback won. Now, there could be a little bit more to read into because – some of those MVP voters may have voted for Cooper Kupp or Jonathan Taylor, which I hope they didn't, but they may have. And that is where it gets a little bit intricate, where you could have Rodgers be first team AP All-Pro, but Brady could win the MVP because some of the people that voted for Rodgers for first team AP All-Pro didn't vote for him for MVP or could work the other way. So it's going to be interesting. This has been the most talked about, interesting MVP race that I can remember in many, many years, right? And I think it's because it's coming down to the two great quarterbacks, the greatest quarterback of all time, who's looking for his fourth MVP at the age of 44, which is just kind of crazy. And by the way, his third MVP came at the age of 40. So it's just like, you know, crazy stuff. And then obviously Aaron Rodgers, and if whoever wins this MVP will only be the second player in league history with four more MVPs. Peyton Manning has five, and a few guys have three, both Rodgers and Brady, obviously. Favre has three, Jim Brown has three, and Johnny Unitas has three. So, I mean, we're talking about rarefied air. If this is something you're interested in, I know a lot of people are like, who cares? Because normally the MVP of the NFL doesn't go on and win the Super Bowl. But, I also think that there's a good chance that whoever wins the MVP, provided it's one of those two quarterbacks, will go on and win the Super Bowl. I still think the Super Bowl is going to be the NFC Championship game on January 30th at Lambeau Field between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I think it was last year, because I think if Green Bay had beaten Tampa last year, they would have beat Kansas City. So I think it has that feel to it. I'm not quite like Dallas, San Francisco in the early 90s, where that was the Super Bowl, but I believe that because of the two quarterbacks, they're that good.
Well, and look, I mean, I believe, and I'm with you when I think it's close, but I think our definitions of close are a little bit different. Like, I don't think this is going to be a split vote thing. And like I said, I mean, at the end of the day, the MVP award isn't that big of a deal. I feel very strongly this year in particular that to me, it's an obvious choice. And mm-hmm. the longer this goes on where people are trying to convince, I mean, again, the Aaron Rodgers case for MVP revolves around projection and basically saying that throwing more doesn't matter. Like, think about that, John. Like, Aaron Rodgers is getting credit for throwing less. Or think of it this way. Tom Brady's being knocked for throwing more. How is that logically, how does that make sense?
But Tom Brady won the MVP in 2010 with 492 passing attempts. So, I mean,
okay.
It worked then. Ben Roethlisberger or whoever. My point being is it's happened before where the guy who threw less won the MVP.
It's not about, you know, okay, this is the thing.
Situational, though?
As in the Buccaneers needed Tom Brady to throw more because the running game was really just not that good this season outside of them catching passes.
Although, aren't they 11th or 13th in yards per attempt running the football?
I think they're just middle. I think they're middle of the pack. No, they just can't.
Well, 13th is middle of the pack.
That's what I'm saying. That's not a good running game. That's not a good running game.
No, but how do we know when they don't use it? I mean, there's been games they've come out at the beginning. And look, more power to him. He's awesome. I'm never going to dispute that. But my point in that is they don't even really attempt to run the football, maybe because they can't.
Exactly.
And I think he probably would like to have a running game, right? Because think Leonard Fournette's the key to this whole run for Tampa Bay, and it was pretty damn important last year, because it'd be nice to have that running game, especially if you're up, you know, that you can go into a 4-minute offense in a tight game. If you have that ability, quarterbacks love that. They don't want to throw 50 passes a game.
Well, Tom Brady does when it's necessary. So the idea that
he has to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the idea that it's somehow a knock on him is absurd, and that's the narrative we're getting. It's like, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers was more efficient. Well, no, he wasn't. They're on the very same level when it comes to efficiency. If you want to sit there and tell me a 0.3 difference in QBR is Aaron Rodgers being more sufficient, then again,
huge.
No, it's huge. No, it's not. Good God. I mean, I know. You get me off track, though.
I am not a cheesehead.
But the point is, I mean, the case for him revolves projection. So, how many times am I going to hear this or see this written out? If Rodgers did this, well, he didn't. That's the point. So we're looking at it. Well, okay, one guy threw the third most passing yards in the history of the NFL this season. The other guy was like 10th or 11th in yards per game in this season. That's not impressive, certainly when it comes to MVP quality. And you brought up 2010, and I'm glad you did, because there's two very different differences there. First of all, Tom Brady also led the league in touchdown passes that year with 36. You know, so this wasn't a situation where he had the efficiency, but he didn't have the volume. He also had the volume. On top of that, the Patriots went 14-2 that year. Only two other teams won at least 12 games that year. Everyone else, 10, 11 wins. So the discrepancy, the difference between that Patriots team and those other teams that season created that gap. So that's
I get
why
you. Yeah, you're right.
That's why when people bring up 2010, Tom Brady did, well, it was a completely different season.
Well, you've made your case, and I appreciate it, the work you put into it, and I think you make valid points. And again, if Brady wins the MVP, I'm not going to, you know, lose any sleep over it. I prefer that my guy won the MVP. But in terms of the legacy of these quarterbacks. Like, Tom Brady doesn't need to do anything to add to his legacy. The MVP is more important than Aaron Rodgers, right?
Because Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to do anything to add to his legacy, too, because people just give him credit for things that he has
done. No, of course he does. I am the truth teller of Aaron Rodgers. He needs to win another Super Bowl or two to move up to where I think he belongs.
For the reason that I feel so strongly that this would be one of the biggest absolute robberies of the MVP award. Not that I necessarily think and care about the MVP award every single year. I mean, I think it's for the most part it's a good award. But like I said, I think it's so obvious that the only reason Rodgers even has a... I mean, again, you want to play what-if game. I mean, flip the script here, John. Flip the script and say Aaron Rodgers was having the numbers that Tom Brady had. Not a question that he would be the hands-down winner in this. So to me...
Most likely, yeah.
And that tells you a lot because, again, this becomes more about a popularity contest. So will I literally lose sleep over it? No. But if Brady were to lose, I would greatly... question the validity of this award and the magnitude of this award moving forward.
I would not want to be around you if this happens on February 10th, but I think part of the narrative too, and I've said this about LeBron James, there's like fatigue. Like, you know, it's like LeBron should have four more MVPs.
We've seen Aaron Rodgers has been in the league for 18 years. Like, fatigue, I mean, if that's the reason why Aaron Rodgers wins...
14 as a starter.
If the reason why Aaron Rodgers wins the MVP is because people are tired of Tom Brady, then that absolutely proves or lends validity to my opinion. That
give it to Joe Burrow, right? Give it to Joe Burrow.
No, don't give it to anyone. Give it to the person who actually deserves it. You know what I mean?
And I think they're the two guys that deserve it. So yeah, my point being, like, if they're tired of Brady and Rodgers, then you pick someone else that, you know.
Well, again, it kind of happens. That's a terrible reason, though.
It happened in the NBA. No, but MVP, it should be about performance and all of that stuff, but sometimes it becomes a narrative. And look, the national media likes Aaron Rodgers more than they like Tom Brady. They find him more interesting. I mean, there's been pushback, though, because now they think he's kind of a tool, a troll,
think about this, a bullshit artist. Sports Illustrated released their MVP, and their reasoning for giving Aaron Rodgers the MVP was overcoming drama of the offseason.
Who the hell created the goddamn drama?
It was Aaron Rodgers. So I'm sitting here thinking, bashing my head up against the walls, like, is this the mentality that people have? Oh, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he overcame all this. He does more with less. I mean, that's the worst god effing statement that I've ever heard in my
team.
Life.
He's got a team. What does he do more of?
He doesn't do more. I'm ribbing here, John. You're going to have to let me roll here.
I know.
You know, what does he do more with less of? More what? More passing yards? No. More touchdowns? No. More yards a game? No. Like, so what exactly does he do more of? They have the same number of wins, and this is happening exactly how I said it was going to play out, too, especially after last week. Like, they say, oh, well, he didn't technically play the whole game against the Lions. I knew that was going to happen. The second he left at halftime, that was an absolute free pass for Packers fans because he didn't finish the game, but they'll ignore the fact that they were down to the Lions at halftime. And it's just like, oh, well, that doesn't really count. So he was really 14-2, and if he would have played, it would have blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, my. And this,
this is the argument
that's seeping into the national media, though, and that's what drives me crazy because if it influences the MVP race, then again, this is to me one of the most obvious. It's not a unanimous thing because, again, I think unanimous is tough, and I think there's always going to be a couple guys that get a vote here or there. But when it comes to deserving and highway robbery, this is exactly what it would be if Rodgers wins this award over Brady, because I very clearly Brady has been the better quarterback. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has more contemporaries this season. Look at Kirk Cousins. I mean, they're almost identical. You want to talk about touchdown to interception ratio? He has barely a better touchdown to interception ratio as Kirk Cousins. He's basically a rich man's Kirk Cousins, if you want to get
a very rich man. Very rich man. I mean, he's 37-4. Cousins, I think, is 26-7. I mean, that's 28-7, which is 4-1 opposed to 9-1. I mean, that's pretty different. I mean, it is. I mean,
they're both efficiency guys. So, but that's what I'm saying.
But the difference is Rodgers can also push the ball down the field.
Sure.
Ask a defensive coordinator who they'd rather face.
I mean, again, it depends on what the game is. Is it a big time game? Then maybe flip a coin because it's about the same result. It's about the same result, man. No, the point is efficiency. This idea. No, my grand point here is that this efficiency idea, this idea that all of a sudden the only thing that matters is a marginal difference in efficiency, is absurd. Because then why isn't Kirk Cousins in the conversation?
Well, because they went 8-9 and didn't make the playoffs.
I know. Well, yeah. Well, apparently, I mean, the record doesn't matter until it matters. But the big point being is. EPA and efficiency and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do want to ask you this: is now that they ended up with the same record, will that sway some voters who before said, "Well, Rodgers has the better record"? Will some people say, "Geez, Tampa Bay was 13-4-2, so you know, like the record isn't that big a deal"? Green Bay won in a tiebreaker, so I think that could that could be the tiebreaker, because most of the voters aren't going to look into the stuff like you do. They're going to just kind of look and go, "Oh yeah, they have the same record, so what's the big deal?"
That speaks volumes to exactly what we're talking about.
Look at the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame voters. I am convinced that out of the 50 AP All-Pro voters, the 50 AP voters for these awards, like half of them don't watch a lot of football, and it's kind of their job. It's like, I've known more sports writers, Ian, that just kind of go through the motion. They started doing this at like 25, and it's helped to put kids through college and pay the mortgage. They're really not big sports people. They're really not. I mean, and then you look at the Hall of Fame ballots that came out. I mean, Dan Shaughnessy voted for one guy, Jeff Kent, because he doesn't want to put any of the steroids guys in. Oh, by the way, Jeff Kent put up ridiculous numbers because of Barry Bonds, who allegedly was on steroids. So, you know, there is one degree of separation from Barry Bonds to Jeff Kent. And then Alex Speer, also of the Globe, voted for 10 guys to make the Hall of Fame and said he would have voted for 15. Like, so what are we doing with these voters? You know what I'm saying? So that is kind of the dangerous part. You know, isn't it? I mean, then you got Hub Arkush who's saying, I'm not going to vote for him because he's the biggest jerk in the league, which he may be, but that's not a reason not to vote for the guy. So I wish they gave this award out. Now, I'm hoping, well, I'm probably not hoping it's Green Bay Tampa NFC Championship game. I prefer someone else coming into Lambeau on January 30th, to be quite honest with you. But if they were to meet in the NFC Championship game, why not give out the MVP the week before the game or the Thursday before the game? Because, you know, if Brady doesn't win the MVP, it's going to be holy hell to pay.
Well, he doesn't care.
He'd like it, though. I think he'd like it, but he doesn't care
about like winning stuff like that. Like, look, I mean, we talk about, you know, the funny thing and what drives me nuts is like the narrative surrounding Brady is exactly what you get from Rodgers. So like, you know, people are describing Rodgers in trying to use that to describe Brady when it's just the exact opposite.
No.
So people are valuing this touchdown interception ratio, saying that, Brady's a stinking dunk passer. Well, guess what? Aaron Rodgers, 60% of his yards came from yards after the catch.
Which is good.
He led the league, which is fine. Yards after the catch is fine. But when you sit there and try to frame it and say one guy is a dink and dunk, can't throw long, and the other guy isn't, when it's the exact opposite, well, then that's when I have a pushback, because 60% of his passing yards came from Yak. Brady's 46%. That's a pretty big difference, especially when you consider the 1,200 yard difference.
Different offense, but Brady's had those years with the Patriots where there's a lot of Yak, which is great. That's the idea of the quarterback: get the ball to your playmakers.
Look, no, sure.
Magic Johnson had 15,000 assists. Half of them came from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I understand that. I'm not criticizing him for that. I'm criticizing the narrative that people are completely looking at it as like, oh, well, he does this and he does that. Well, guess what? He doesn't. And like, if you want to sit there and talk about padding stats, 10 attempts this season from Aaron Rodgers at the 1 yard line throwing. He's 6 for 10. That's 6 touchdowns at the 1 yard line. Tom Brady, only 3 attempts. And we saw one of them last week.
He had another one from three.
You know, again, save me this touchdown to interception ratio nonsense when you're focusing, oh, look at touchdown percentage. He throws more points per attempt. Well, no, he doesn't throw more. Like, we're not talking about, like, projecting out, like, oh, well, if he had done this. Well, no, he didn't do this. Tom Brady did do this. So, again, this conversation to me, it's so... The vote should be very easy. It should be very simple, and it is a very obvious opinion. Like, do I think Aaron Rodgers is going to get some votes? Absolutely. Do I think it'd be a travesty if he got votes? No. But I think it'd be a travesty if he won. Because, again, that just throws away the whole... I mean, what's the point? Are we taking a guy who led the 10th or 11th ranked offense that had a pretty good run, a very nice end of the season, but for the most part, he was consistently average. 2 touchdowns, 200 yards a game. That's Aaron Rodgers.
And no, it's 250 a game.
Okay, not 200 yards. 250, okay.
Well, I mean, let's be accurate. And it's more like 2.5 touchdowns per game. Again, if you're breaking this down game by game, you know, there's not huge differences. And no interceptions. So, like, I mean, again, this is what you have to do. I mean, if you're pushing one guy, you do have to knock the other guy, and I get that.
No,
so,
I don't have to knock Aaron Rodgers.
You made it sound like he's Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's better than Kirk Cousins. I can agree with
that. No, but what I'm saying is I don't have to. That's the thing. I can present Tom Brady's case absent of presenting Aaron Rodgers' case, and it's a slam dunk for Tom Brady. That's what I'm saying. Like, the guy leads the league in passing by a large margin. He leads the league in touchdowns. He has he's in top three in every efficiency metric you can think of. I mean, look, one of the saving graces for Aaron Rodgers is that EPA metric where Jimmy Garoppolo was the third best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, like, I don't know how that happened.
You know what it is, John? It's because EPA is very heavily reliant on things like yards after catch and the effort of those around you. Guess what? Aaron Rodgers, 15 drops this season. Tom Brady, 35. Aaron Rodgers, and I didn't have access or the chart for this. He had, next to Patrick Mahomes, on average, the highest degree of separation for his receivers, meaning he was throwing a lot of wide open passes. And, you know, look, when you're only trailing Patrick Mahomes, and I think we both agree that Patrick Mahomes throws a lot of passes to wide open players.
Well, that matters.
That's
kind of the idea, though, isn't it? I mean, the idea of the offense?
Well,
of course,
but
I think Brady likes to throw to open guys too.
No,
when
you're misunderstanding what I'm trying to say here.
No, I'm not.
Here.
Brady's guys don't get the separation.
Exactly. So, you know, we're sitting here putting so much stock and so much weight in touchdown to interception ratio and percentages, and oh, look at the yards per attempt, which is like 0.3 difference. QBR is 0.3. EPA is like 0.2. So it's like we're talking marginal differences in the two when it comes to efficiency, but massive differences when it comes to volume. And when you think about adding 200 more passes and also maintaining the same level of efficiency, guess what? That's more valuable. That's more efficient.
This is going to be close, but I think this also speaks well of Matt LaFleur, right? Like if Sports Illustrated is saying that Rodgers overcame a lot of drama, which was self-inflicted. They didn't say that. I did self-inflicted. You can really make a case that Matt LaFleur should be coach of the year, right? Because, I mean, he had the best record in football.
There's better candidates than him. I mean,
there are better candidates, but somehow the team went 13-4 with the kooky quarterback who, you know, we didn't know if he was going to show up till training camp happened.
They've had 13 wins three years in a row. I'm not giving –
That's pretty good,
Matt,
yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, no one's saying it's not good, there, but yeah. I'm not saying he overcome the kooky quarterback. No, I mean, that's – it's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, let's be real here.
That's why Belichick didn't win many Coach of the Years either, because it's like, it's Tom Brady. I mean, you know, like Andy Reid's not going to win Coach of the Year. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be like Mike Vrabel's probably going to win because he got Ryan Tannehill and he ended up with the best record in the AFC.
I think he deserves it too. I mean, given what
I do
they
too
went
with all those
through,
injuries.
So.
Yeah, he lost his best player midway through the season. By the way, Derrick Henry played like less than half a season, still finished like eighth in rushing.
Yeah, that's
how incredible is that? I mean, that's absurd. I mean, he would have, you know. He's a more likely MVP candidate than Jonathan Taylor. Henry last year was a more likely MVP candidate than Taylor. Even then, it's still a quarterback award.
They're the number one seed.
Right, same team. Same team. Oh, no, absolutely.
If anything, kind of kicks back at the whole idea that, you know, running back should be MVP candidates, no. Right there. And you can see, like, the Titans are still the number one seed, and they've missed Derrick Henry, as great as he is. For as long as he is, it didn't really matter because, you know what, it's a quarterback league and it's not even move the ball.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
All right, so I guess we'll have to nip this in
more,
the bud.
More importantly, how was Tuukka Rask last night?
Oh, he was great. He was great, man. I was so happy to see Tuukka out there. Some big timely saves. I mean, it was fantastic.
I told you, he's going to go on a run this year. I've got a really weird suspicion that he's going to have a run like – Don't forget, remember when Tim Thomas had the incredible 2010-11 season? He came off the same surgery. He's playing because he wants to, which is – when an athlete's playing because he wants to, not because he has to, they can be really dangerous. And look, I like Tuukka. I do. I mean, I think there's wild opinions on Tuukka Rask. I like the guy because, I mean, I've been able to cover the Bruins for a few years when I was at the Herald. no better athletes than hockey players. By far the most accommodating, and he was a class act. After a tough loss, he'd answer all the questions, look you in the eye, give you good answers. Good guy. And I know people that work at the Garden say he's just a very, very nice guy, so I root for him. I think he's going to want to really run a good run, and if they can make some deal at the trade deadline to get some secondary scoring, they could be a dangerous team. Because it is hockey, right? You know, he gets hot and carries you like he's done before. Look out.
Well, for him, and like I said, you took the words right out of my mouth, John, because I was going to bring up that situation with Tim Thomas. And, you know, for Tuca, the style in which he plays, too, you know, it's a lot. I mean, goalies in general, hips, legs, that they're very crucial to yep. what you can do. But for him, the way he plays, the style in which he plays, it's very important. And to wonder how long this has been bothering him to now come back presumably healthy. You're right. He could go on a really good run. And guess yep. what? The timing, the Bruins are starting to heat up. I mean, they've won 7 of 8 to come out of the new mm-hmm. year. They're scoring goals at a clip that's pretty damn impressive. And all of a sudden, you know, you have some elite goaltending again. So it should be fun here. So
his teammates love him.
Oh yeah. Oh, right.
I mean,
yeah.
Pastrnak was talking about, like, I was so excited to see him back in net, and Pastrnak goes out, you know, nets a hat trick.
Yeah.
you know, the veteran guys on that team love him, and kind of the quarterback and the goalie are similar in a sense. Like, you want your guys that, you know, love and respect and play hard for you. Same type of thing. And I think that's the game. I, again, I'm not a hockey guy. You are. But I maybe sometimes I look at the more macro approach to it. I think they could go on some sort of run here. If they can add a piece or two to give them some secondary scoring, I like that they kind of split up the line a little bit to give them a little more punch on the second line. And, you know, again, if they could go out and get another, you know, competent scorer, and Taylor Hall and Charlie Coyle start to step up, they could put together a run here.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah,
I like seeing that. So, all right, let's shift over real quick, because we don't really have that much time. Because you know us, we just have plans. Certain things get in the way, and then, you know, those plans go out the window. Because you know, hey, we just love talking about Tom Brady. And, of course, the very likable Aaron Rodgers.
How can anyone not like him?
That's right. How can anyone not like him? But,
love our quarterback.
Yeah, we do.
We love our quarterback.
But we do want to talk
to him. And I love Brady, by the way.
I know you do.
I actually talked to my nephew so much. He goes, boy, he thought I hated Brady. I said, no, I can be critical of him. Like, you know, I think he's kind of a weird dude, but so's Rodgers. They're both weird dudes. But when they're on the football field, they're pretty spectacular.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, look, I'm a weird dude, so I think we're all a little bit weird.
Yeah, but, you're more Rodgers than Brady, by the way.
I think you could be more Rodgers than Brady.
You play guitar?
No, God, no. I am so unmusically gifted. It's absurd. Like, real quick story. Sixth grade, you had to pick. You had to do chorus or you had to do band. I picked band because, well, who the hell wants to do chorus? So I figure, hey, I'll try a drum. It literally took me the entire first class to sit there and try to figure out how to set the damn drum up. And then they were like, you know what?
Oh, Jesus.
Forget about it. Just go to the library during this period. And I was like, all right. Works for me. I got a study hall in sixth grade. It was great. But
did you have your version of J.K. Simmons from Whiplash? Which was such a great movie, by the way. Unbelievable.
I did not, unfortunately. But all right. Okay. Focus. We got to focus. AFC okay. Wildcard weekend. We got three games, and we're starting off tomorrow, 4:30. You got Cincinnati hosting Las Vegas. And like I said yesterday, the intrigue for this weekend is pretty high when you consider that, you know, some years you're likely going to you're going to have years where you're going to have some pretty poor matchups, especially this weekend, because with the inclusion of a 7th team, you know, you're rolling the dice a little bit. This matchup in particular, you have two teams with two of the longest playoff droughts in NFL history right now. We talked about it a mm-hmm. little bit yesterday. Las Vegas hadn't won a game since they beat the Titans in 2002. And Cincinnati, same, they haven't won a playoff game since they beat the Oilers in 1990. It's an incredibly long drought for both teams, but obviously one has to end the season. And this isn't a situation where both these teams kind of backed in. Like, you know how sometimes you get those bad teams that just happen to mm-hmm. before. Like, I think these are two pretty good teams for two different reasons. I think Cincinnati is more the traditional add some explosiveness to their team in the offseason through the draft and free agency and watch them grow from there. Whereas Las Vegas, you know, they've had a lot of the same pieces for a while, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. They've done a good job of overcoming a lot of adversity this year. So, you know, again, both of these teams were, Kyle asked, the Bengals were in the NHL. No, unfortunately. I had to think about it. I was like, huh? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I said the Oilers. Yeah, the Houston Oilers, Kyle. Come on
yes.
now.
Yep.
But yeah, so anyways, both these teams, I think, are deserving of being where they're at. And, you know, a win for either of these teams could really help them moving forward. I don't think either of them are making a run to the Super Bowl. I don't think either of them necessarily has that underdog, beat the top teams in the conference ability. Although, if I had to choose one team to go on a pretty crazy run, it might be Cincinnati because of how explosive their offense can be. And some of the struggles that you see from teams like New England and even Kansas City is that their offenses aren't as consistent. And, you know, well, I think it was last week or whatever it was, it took, 46, 47 pass attempts for Patrick Mahomes to move the ball just over 200 yards. That's a little concerning because it's like that's what you call not being efficient. That's where efficiency becomes an issue. But at the end of the day, like I would love to see a Kansas City, Cincinnati, just like, you know, shootout between the two. Mm-hmm. I do like Cincinnati in this game against the Raiders. I just think at the end of the day, they're more talented. I think they have a better quarterback. Although I think they're both, I like Derek Carr. I'm not a big anti, you know, there's a lot of people that hate Derek Carr. I don't mind Derek Carr. But you know, I do like Joe Burrow a little bit more, and especially the explosiveness around him with like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and everything like that. So I like the Bengals in this one to knock out the Raiders and break their streak that has lasted nearly 35 years.
I'm going to actually give you the score of the game. Cincinnati 27, Vegas 13. I think it's going to be a real comfortable win. Cincinnati may have the best skill set in the NFL, right? When you factor in Burrow, Mixon, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, that's a really good offense. When they address that offensive line, that's going to be a loaded offense.
Yeah, I think they have the best wide receiver trio in the league. And you're talking about two guys
so young.
That are – yeah, and you're talking about two guys that – you know, and Higgins and Jamar Chase that are so young. I mean, Jesus. I mean, their collective NFL experience is almost non-existent. You put a graph between them and, like, say, Tom Brady, and, like, you're barely going to see their blip on that screen because Brady's is so big. So, like, it's going to be fun to watch. I think it's a great way to kick off this playoff playoff run and all that. So, all right, next game we have New England. That's right. This is what we called a few weeks ago because you knew what was going to happen. You knew, no matter what, the Patriots and the Bills were going to end up meeting again in the playoffs. And mm-hmm. I think it's fitting. I think it's a great thing for both teams. Like, I legitimately love the fact that both of these teams are actually rivals right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually rivals. Buffalo's won the division 2 years in a row, but you know this isn't. You know, Buffalo doesn't have the cachet that New England has, obviously, for years of winning Super mm-hmm. Bowls and all that. So I'm not gonna sit there and say, Buffalo's clearly in the lead here. Like, I mean, this at the end of the day might end up being like a nice little 2 year keep the seat warm type run for Buffalo. But we'll find out. This is a big game for both franchises because, yeah, Buffalo made it to the AFC Championship game a year ago, but they need to make it back and they need to take the next step if they're going to keep growing. New England, I kind of feel, is playing with a little bit of house money here. You know, they had a really good season with a rookie quarterback who, you know, look, he has his limitations and you expect him to or you hope that he grows from year one to year two. Getting a taste of playoff experience, I think, is going to be huge. And like I said, I mean, if New England goes out and wins this game, how important were those two AFC East Division titles for Buffalo? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, how big are they? Especially when they finished with only one, you know, with a slightly better record than New England in the conference and very well could have not won the division. So I think a lot of pressure is on Buffalo here. We've seen the weather. It looks like it's going to be a little windy and cold, and you know, maybe that favors New England. Maybe it does, because what's the narrative around Josh Allen? Well, you know, he wants a dome, right? He wants to play in a dome. Well, guess what? You're in Buffalo. That's probably not going to happen anytime soon. And, you know, if you're going to be able to slow him down, you might as well throw the weather into the mix here and cause some issues. So I'm going to go with the upset, John. I feel like a third time the Bill Belichick gets to prepare for an opponent. I think that's advantage Belichick. And I think, as you know, when it comes to coaching, I think it's a no-brainer when it comes to Belichick. Quarterbacks, obviously you got to give the edge to Josh Allen. But the weather certainly adds a wrinkle to it. And I think the Patriots are a better running team. So I like this as an upset. I like it on prime time, and maybe, like I said, maybe this is what's going to turn the page for Mac to get over the rookie struggles. So give me the Patriots in this one.
Yeah, I like Buffalo. I think they have too much talent. They have the better quarterback. They are at home, although they've been
on
the road as they've been at home. It's not they haven't been a dominant home team. I mean, even their wins look a little crazy. Been a better road team. I mean, the weather will be a factor. We hear that Josh Allen has problems with circulation in his toes. You know, when Bart Scott told him to take Viagra, and it makes sense because Viagra, you know, increases blood pressure and gets better blood flow. So why not? You know, it seems to be a good idea. And Bart Scott must know because he's giving that advice. But I think Buffalo's going to win this thing 24-13. It's going to be a low scoring game. Two real good defenses. Buffalo's been leaning a little bit more on the run game the last couple of weeks, not to the degree that you would think they become a running team. And in fact, you know, their best runner is the quarterback, Josh Allen. So I think it's going to be difficult for the Patriots to put points on the board. And they're just a healthier team too, Buffalo, right now. They seem to be as healthy as they've been all season. Well, Patriots are dealing with a bunch of injuries, which is problematic.
And this is the thing too here, John, you know, when Josh Allen is on his game, it's hard to pick too many quarterbacks that can play better than him when he's playing his best. Mm-hmm. However, his floor can get pretty low. So I think that's where you sit there if you're the Patriots and say, okay, if we can dictate early part aspects of the game, and this is the big part too, you know, Belichick talked about it last week before the finale, slow starts have plagued this Patriots team, and you can't start slow. Get into Josh Allen's head, get him off his rhythm, and all of a sudden, that gap in quarterbacking, which I don't necessarily think is a huge gap relative to, you know, some of the other matchups, or, you know what I mean, with some of the other quarterbacks in the league relative to others, but the gap exists. And I think Josh Allen, again, for everything that, you know, Bills fans criticize Mac for, I mean, Josh Allen had a worse rookie season than Mac Jones, so... You know, if Josh can, over the course of 3-4 years, evolve and grow, you got to believe that Mac Jones can do it too. And he has an opportunity to really get some, like, extra credit here in the playoffs. That's how I'm viewing it. It's kind of like just extra time. I mean, again, house money. I mean, this team made the playoffs. I mean, I think you're looking at the expectations moving forward as, okay, this should be a pretty regular playoff team. Now, the difference between being a regular playoff team and a regular championship contender is pretty big, and they're going to have to, you know, get back to that eventually. But I think this bodes well for a New England team that could very well win this game. This is not I don't know what the spread is. I probably should have looked before we got
four and a half.
Yeah, that's reasonable because you figure the 3 points for being at home for Buffalo and about 1.5 points. Like that's a very appropriate spread, and I think it speaks volumes where both of these teams are in the big picture. I don't think the gap is big at all, and it can close, John, with the Patriots win on tomorrow. So we'll see. Last game, Sunday night, Pittsburgh at Kansas City. Oh, I just brought your mug back up on the screen as opposed to schedule. There we go. There's that schedule. Kansas City hosting Pittsburgh, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, a little bit of a You better hope that somehow Ben Roethlisberger plays the game of his life, the last greatest game of his life, to win this game. Now, I'm not saying that's it's not impossible for Pittsburgh to win. I'm trying to not put all my stock into what we saw just a few weeks ago, because if that was the case, this is a blowout victory for Kansas City. But like I said, the Chiefs are and can be vulnerable. They, you know, Pittsburgh just has to play a perfect game. I mean, that's what we're talking about here for them to win this game. They have to play perfect. Ben Roethlisberger has to, you know, use whatever last ounce of talent and skill he has in his body to play this game. Because, again, we know that it's going to be his last game. You think maybe Pittsburgh shows up just one more time for this team, or for him, and elevates them over Kansas City. Because guess what? If Pittsburgh starts getting off defensively, and that's something they can do, I know they don't have a great defense, but they are capable in moments to play really good defensively, and a guy like TJ Watt could certainly, you know, change the landscape. They can get to Kansas City, and that's when it'll get interesting. Can they get to Patrick Mahomes and this offense? And, you know, teams have. I mean, they have. I mean, Patrick has, you know, to his credit, has played a better second half of the season than he did the first half. But there are still issues there when you sit there and watch this offense, where it's not quite in sync. It's not quite the same explosiveness. And it's kind of predictable, if you think about it. It's like, okay, you know, as long as, if you're a defense, as long as you just don't break down in the secondary and allow guys like Tyreek Hill to just run free, you're going to have a pretty good shot at containing this Chiefs offense. So that's what Pittsburgh has to do. And you better hope that Ben Roethlisberger can take care of the ball and you get a matchup with the Chiefs defense that, for the most part, they've looked really well, but then they've had hiccups where they just can't stop. It doesn't seem they can stop the run. So if Najee Harris can get rolling and Ben Roethlisberger can have a pretty decent game, there might be a chance, John. I'm just not going to pick him. So the Chiefs. After all that, I'm still taking the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chiefs. This is the biggest spread on the board this weekend. They're 12.5 point favorites. I think
Pittsburgh covers. I think that's actually that's a very, in my opinion, very disrespectful spread. I think this is a. I think it's
Of the 14 quarterbacks that made the postseason, Ben Roethlisberger may be the only one who didn't want to go.
Yeah,
like it's almost like, oh, I got to play another game. Like, yeah. I thought I retired at home against Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and then on the road at Baltimore. And again, I'm going to pick against the three teams that needed to win and get in, since they all went to overtime to win their games, and then Pittsburgh needed a miracle and didn't know they were in the playoffs till like past midnight on Sunday. So I think it's going to be 34-17. Roethlisberger's, you know, prone to a big interception. Mahomes has been taking care of the football the second half of the year, not so much the first half of the year. But you're right, Pittsburgh's going to have to play a perfect game on both sides of the ball. And T.J. Watt is a guy that can blow up your offense, right? So that's going to be an important thing. But I just see Kansas City getting up and Big Ben just not giving a crap and throwing a couple picks, maybe a pick six. And I'll go KC 34-17.
Well, they have it. Wild card weekend, all of our picks. So, of course, we will be back. That's going to do it for us here today. We will be back next on Monday, obviously, to break down what we saw. And then, of course, you know, we'll still have one more game between Arizona and Los Angeles. So we'll certainly touch on that as well. So in the meantime, have a great weekend, folks. Enjoy this wild card, wacky wild card, mega wild card weekend, whatever you want to call it. It should be fun. We should get some good football games. And, of course, that means we're inching closer and closer to the Super Bowl. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we will talk to you on Monday.